This is Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, and we are back. Hour number three, myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. And again, we're going to take this hour and really just talk through 9/11. Dr. Carol Lieberman will be joining us here shortly. We were able to round her up, which, again, for this 5 o'clock hour on Friday nights, I will be very thankful to her once we get her on, because not all guests went to do 5 o'clock on Fridays, Andy, because depending upon where they're at in the country, it's the end of the week for most people.
Right, especially if they're East Coast.
Correct. So we will thank her once she gets going here. But we'll talk to Dr. Carol to begin with, and then we'll get into just different things about 9/11. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it today was, A, just so that we don't forget 9/11. 9/11 is trying to now be replaced by the left with January 6th. And folks, there is no comparison at all, not one iota, period.
Oh, I agree. In fact, tell you what, after the interview, what I'd like you to do, let's talk about the differences between those two.
Okay, let's do it. All right, Dr. Carol joining us now, though. Dr. Carol, thank you so much for joining us. I know Friday nights are tough for a lot of folks. You're very gracious in joining us, and thank you.
You're very welcome.
So let's talk 9/11. I was just telling Andy a moment ago that 9/11 is now trying to be replaced and forgotten in lieu of January 6th, which in my opinion is an absolute joke, but that's what the other side is trying to do. And I want to make sure that we do not forget 9/11.
Yes, and so do I, which is why I'm having a mobile billboard truck going around New York and D.C. this year. I started it last year in New York. And now I'm at in D.C., and it is a music video which is aimed at getting people to very much remember 9/11. And, it's music. It's things like, of course, God Bless the USA, and Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning, and Have You Forgotten, over pictures that fit with the lyrics, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very poignant. It does kind of drive it home. And but that is important. It also has like 10 ways to make children more resilient and various other things. But that's the thing. The other side. The Obama Biden White House wants us to forget 9/11. Yes, they want us to think that the real terrorists are the January 6th trespassers, as well as the PTA parents. And now after Biden's last speech, it's all MAGA Republicans,
right,
whatever that means.
Right.
So, and in the meantime, we are more in danger of being attacked by terrorists right now,
yep,
than before 9/11. And so we can't take our eye off the ball. We have to know who the real terrorists are, radical Islamists. And, nowadays you say that and you could be accused of Islamophobia, but that is what they are.
Yes. You bring up a great point, Dr. Carol. I think it's one of the things I wanted to mention, so I'm glad you brought it up. The reality is we sort of have almost entered into this era where we don't think those folks exist. We almost have this false sense of security that 9/11 will never happen again, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Yes, absolutely. Granted, there are a lot of other things to distract us, from COVID to the economy to crime to all kinds of things. But, and that's part of, that's not by coincidence. But we do have, I do a podcast, I've been doing it for years, called The Terrorist Therapist Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so every week I have to look for the hottest topic in terror. So I have been, watching what terrorists have been doing. And they have not only have they not stopped their generational plan, to take over the West and make us follow Sharia law, but they have increased their recruiting during the lockdowns. When more people were online, they were able to spread their propaganda to more people and recruit more people.
Mm-hmm.
While our military is going woke and losing people because, if you didn't get a vaccine, then you're not allowed to be in the military. It's just crazy. That's one of the reasons why we're more vulnerable. It's natural for people to not want to remember things that were painful, like not just about 9/11, but like, you know, things from your childhood or even more recently, you know, it hurts to remember those things. But so that's why it's so easy to be convinced not to forget it. But we have to in this case, you know, we really, in order to, we're in such denial and we're so, we've let our guard down so much that this is really a very dangerous situation, especially when Afghanistan, that was, you know, one of the biggest things that have made us more vulnerable, because all terrorists, not just the Taliban, but all, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all kinds of terrorists have seen that, yes, the Taliban made us surrender to them. So that makes all the other terrorists think, well, we can do it too.
Drew from Afghanistan, leaving behind billions of dollars of decent, you know, really decent, I don't care what the other side says, by the way, because I understand that side of it better than they do. We left some very usable items that now mostly China and the Taliban will end up controlling, plus all the rare earth minerals they get out of that. I mean, essentially, we handed China, you and I have talked about this before, we handed China $1 trillion plus when it's all said and done. And to your point, Dr. Carroll, gave the Taliban a big win.
Yes, absolutely. And it also showed the world how demented, you know, how much of the encroaching dementia has taken hold, because Biden wasn't able to do analytical or abstract thinking when it came, well, he's not able to do it in regard to anything, but we saw the results of that in Afghanistan, because he wasn't able to hold two different strategies or more than two in his mind at the same time. And when the Taliban didn't stick to what they agreed to, you know, he was left. There was no plan B.
Right.
You know, Dr. Carroll, it seems to me that in the aftermath of 9/11, we saw for the first time in America the left absolutely embrace evil over good. And here's what I mean. They came out in Hollywood, they came out in the media, they came out everywhere, and their number one concern was that Americans not commit hate crimes against Muslims.
Right.
As if Americans, as if ordinary Americans are the biggest threat. And now, today, to them, we are. Okay, I mean, you're the biggest threat. You're a terrorist if you speak up at a school board meeting, if you wear a MAGA hat and so forth. It seemed that it was a real shock to a lot of people in the aftermath of 9/11 to see the left come out, and their biggest concern by far was, don't go after the people of the ideology who brought us this killing.
Yes, and it's just gotten worse and worse, absolutely. You know, we really have to, and another example of how they have been doing this, I mean, first of all, the biggest example is that every year for 9/11, the acknowledgement, the honoring, the ceremonies, the events have gone down and down, except for last year, the 20th, there was a half-hearted attempt to make more events. But this year, I mean, I've been looking around because I've been trying to find places for my truck to go with my video. And there are, like in New York, there are only three places that are doing things that could be called events related to 9/11. I mean, there are a few minor things, but for the most part, it's just three major places. And I was going to say, so besides the diminishment each year, the recent thing that happened is that the 9/11 Tribute Museum was allowed to die.
Mm, I saw that.
It closed its doors.
Yep.
And, shame. Yeah. I wrote an op-ed, if a 9/11 museum closes in America, would it make a sound? And the answer, apparently, is no.
Right. Right. And you know, as a taxpayer myself, I know, you know, you and Andy and Charlie are as well. If there's anything I would fund with my tax dollars, it would be that.
Yes. Yes, not 87,000 new tax, new IRS.
Well, and not, you know, $500 billion worth of student debt forgiveness, Dr. Carroll.
Yes.
No offense. We could keep that museum open for a very, very, very long time with what we just did with student debt.
Absolutely.
It's a crime. It's a crime, by the way, all in and of itself. It's a total crime, I think.
It is. It is. And it's also a crime that more people, well, of course, you know, I was going to say it's a crime that more people didn't express their outrage. But, you know, part of it was the media didn't really cover
it. Yeah, I was going to say, who knew?
I mean,
I mean, if I hadn't been following some of what you do and some of the other things that we do here on air, I honestly, Dr. Carol, I wouldn't have known.
Yes. I mean, I've been doing a fair amount of interviews about it, but all the people, all the hosts have said, we didn't know anything about this.
Right.
I mean, that you know, and that's a coincidence, or that wasn't done purposely, I think it was.
Agree.
Dr. Carol, are you confident at all that the FBI, the modern FBI, is even focused on this, is even focused on this continuing ongoing threat when they're sending, let's face it, look, we lost 3,000 people in one attack, and Donald Trump has killed no one, but we can send 30 agents to his home because of a records dispute.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, do you see any focus on the prize here on getting bad guys?
Well, it depends who you call bad guys. You know, there's a lot of focus. I would say Trump is enemy number one. He has the biggest arrow on his target on his back.
But he hasn't killed anyone.
He hasn't done whatever they've been saying. You know,
I know.
All kinds of things. So, yes, it is. It's a very, and that's another reason why I'm doing all of this. I mean, I've been doing this since 9/11, trying to help people with the memory of 9/11 and to become more resilient. But I'm also doing it as things have transpired, you know, with this attempt to make us forget. After 9/11, we were the most patriotic and unified ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm also trying to bring that back, you know, when we realize that there is this enemy outside of ourselves that is much more dangerous, you know, than January 6th trespassers. And it's not even so much outside of ourselves anymore because, you know, we've let in over 80,000 Afghans. We've let in untold numbers of border crossers. All of these people have not been vetted. And so there are places in America where jihad is being taught. And plots are being made. I mean, cause I know some people listening to this, well, maybe not your listeners, but, you know, you could imagine some people thinking, oh, that's just crazy, that's paranoid. Well, I wish it were.
No, that's not paranoid at all. Very, very true. You know, Dr. Carol, can you hang on just real quick and we take a quick break? I did want to talk about, because I know you're a collector of memorabilia, and with the Queen, or, you know, with Queen Elizabeth just passing away, I thought maybe we could touch on that for just a few minutes. I know it's 9/11 and all of that, but I wanted to touch on that as well if we could.
Yes.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Dr. Carol Lieberman with us. And again, thank you, Dr. Carol, for joining us. And the Queen passed away. And, you know, it was news all over the world, of course, because I don't know of anybody on this earth right now that would remember any other Queen of England living besides her, because that's how long she reigned. And I know you're also a collector of memorabilia. Talk about that for a moment, if you would.
Sure. I have, you remember the sexy dress that Kate Middleton wore?
Yes.
Okay. And I wrote, she got engaged right around the time that one of my books came out, Bad Girls, Why Men Love Them, and How Good Girls Can Learn Their Secrets. And so I did some interviews talking about how Kate is the quintessential good girl who used some bad girl secrets to catch her prince. And one of the secrets was wearing this sexy dress.
Okay.
So the dress went on auction in London, and I went to bid on it, and in the end, it went for $125,000, which was a little above my budget. But I got the woman who created the dress to make a limited edition of copies, replicas. And I am the American ambassador of that dress. So that dress is now it's been in an exhibit. And now the exhibit has moved to Las Vegas. And it also I have Wallace Simpson's lingerie at the same auction. When I kind of realized that Kate's dress was going to get to be too expensive, I bought Wallace Simpson's lingerie, which, of course, is very much in tune with what's going on now because that is, you know, Wallace Simpson. She was the quintessential bad girl who got her man to give up the throne, and that is really how Queen Elizabeth ultimately got to be queen. But I lived in England for a while. I studied under Anne Freud. I did research at the Maudsley. So I have been an Anglophile. I have two, in many different ways, including that I have two cats, one called Prince George, one called Princess Charlotte.
And you, and so, with all of that, you're still a conservative, Dr. Carroll. I have to admire you.
Yes. And I want to be sure to tell people, if they're not going to be in Manhattan or in D.C. and they're not going to be able to see my mobile video truck, they can go to my website and see it on the top of my homepage, which is terroristtherapist.com.
All right.
Hey, really quick here, Dr. Carroll, how do you become an Anglophile? How do you actually get into that as something that really fascinates you?
Well, it started when I went to London. Well, I mean, I think it probably started when I was a little girl. I was fascinated. But then it really started when I started living in London, you know, studying at Anna Freud's clinic, as I said, and doing research at the Maudsley. And, you know, and then I came back. I wrote a book, Coping with Terrorism, that was the anniversary of edition of 7/7, which was then 9/11. So, you know, that was my first terrorism book. And then I was back there fairly recently because my latest book, terrorism book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror, was honored at the London Book Festival. So I, you know, there have been, and I was married to a Cambridge professor. I mean, I've been, you know, an Anglophile since, actually, even reading Jane Austen books, I guess that might be the first that might be the first thing that got me hooked.
Wow, very, very cool. Question for you, because we're going to ask this question once I go to break and we come back. So you might as well start with you. Where were you on 9/11? What were you doing? What do you remember?
Well, it's so interesting because I am a New Yorker, born and bred. But when 9/11 happened, I had already moved to California. And but my heart was still in New York, which is why I kind of got into this whole terrorist therapist thing. But to tell you the truth, the way I found out about it, my assistant emailed me and said she's not coming in today because a plane flew into the Twin Towers. And I'm thinking, what kind of an excuse is that?
That's a good one. Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, it wasn't just some random drunk pilot.
Yeah. No, it was not. Unfortunately, it was not. It was much, much more than that, as we all know today. And to your point, it unified the country. It brought in all sorts of patriotism to our country for many years after. And unfortunately, it doesn't take very long for what I feel the other side and their bent to destroy that. It doesn't take them very long for people to start forgetting, does it?
No, absolutely not. It really, as I was saying, it's really, you know, when something is painful, it's just an automatic thing that our mind does, push it into the unconscious. Mm. And that's why we have to kind of keep remembering to bring it out, remembering the importance of it.
Yep. Dr. Carroll, again, I really want to thank you. I know it's, you know, late on Friday night and the week is over and everybody's tired, but I appreciate you joining us. Your words of wisdom, your kindness to us is greatly appreciated.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Carroll. Have a great weekend, and we'll ask that question again when we come back. Where were you on 9/11? All right, we are back and doing a little 9/11 tribute here today. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, and that will be Sunday. Most of you probably know that, but don't forget Sunday what happened on that day. And I throw the question out there for those of you that might be listening or tuning in. You can text us this answer as well. Our text line, 307-200-8222. You're welcome to call in as well, 303-477-5600. Where were you on 9/11 when you heard the news? What were you doing? Andy, I'll start with you. What were you doing?
I was working. I was at a casino, Colorado Central Station it was at the time.
So your early morning then.
Yeah, and I was. And I was actually downstairs, and we saw the hit upon the towers. Now, downstairs was kind of our sports bar area, and so we had one enormous TV screen that everybody was watching it on, and it was really something to see.
Hmm.
you know, the planes go into the tower.
I'm guessing the gambling probably stopped and people hovered around and started watching and all of that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Everybody was up.
Very surreal.
And, you know, and we're usually not that busy in a morning, and so it's our regulars, and they're all clustered around the TV with us, you know, eating their breakfast while they watch this. And it was just, it was shocking. We were absolutely stunned at what had happened.
Yeah, well, as was most people, of course.
So. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. There were some people who, you know, when it first happened, you know, there were still people wondering, is this an attack?
Is this real? What happened? Right.
Was it a mistake?
Right, right. Something happened.
Before long, we knew.
Right, exactly. John in Cheyenne, what's up, sir?
Oh, so I was sitting at my desk on the 15th floor of One Metro Tech Center in downtown Brooklyn.
Wow.
And I looked out the window, and the North Tower was on fire.
Wow.
Or smoking. So we're all looking at it, and we all watched the second plane go into the South Tower.
So you actually saw, you were there, you saw the plane go into the tower.
Yeah, the second plane go into the South Tower.
Wow.
Because I was sitting at my desk working at the time. And then, you know, you look up, you look out the window.
Sure.
To get, you know, like when you take a sip of coffee or something like that, and you saw the smoke, and we were talking about it. I had a little portable radio. And in New York City, there's an all-news, all-the-time radio station on the AM dial. And so we tune that in, and we're listening to it. They're talking about a plane crash into the North Tower, World Trade Center, blah, blah, blah. And then the South Tower hit, and everybody knew. Mm. I mean, when the second one hit, everybody knew. And then, you know, the news started coming on. And so we were kind of – our building sat – between the Manhattan and Brooklyn bridges. So we were, they locked down the building. They asked us to stay inside, but we were watching out the door. You know, some of us went down to the lobby because after it happened, nobody could do any work.
Right.
Pretty much.
No, it stopped. Everything stopped. All productivity for that day, for the most part, stopped.
Yeah. And you could see all the people walking by that were coming off the Brooklyn Bridge to the Manhattan Bridge, and there were nowhere for them to go into Brooklyn, because they shut the subways down for safety.
Right.
You know, they were afraid of that. And so there's a couple of thousand people at the bus stops. You know, one bus would pull up and load up with 50, 60, 70 people and say, I can't take anymore.
Wow.
And a lot of people were walking. So it was just an interesting day. I don't know if, you know, I've got other words I could use, but they would violate the FCC rules.
Yeah, it was interesting. Is probably a good way to say it. And you know, unfortunately, and I don't know whether this is you know correct, incorrect, whatever, doesn't matter. But the reality is, it literally changed the world. It changed air travel. It changed what we do going in and out of all sorts of public places now. I mean, the reality, John, in that sense, and this is where I wish we could have done things differently. You know, we ended up with even legislation that came out of that I don't necessarily. Well, I don't agree with today. There's things that we did from that frankly made the terrorist win, and I don't think we should have done some of those things.
Oh, I kind of agree with you on a lot of that stuff. We made a mistake going into Iraq. We should have never went near there. They had nothing to do with it. Everybody knew they had nothing to do with it, but, you know, that's different politics. But what's interesting is, so I finally at about 12:30 went, and, you know, about two hours after the second tower came down, I couldn't get home because I lived in New Jersey at that point, and I had to walk to my parents' house. So I walked about four and a half miles of the 6 miles that it was. And some guy in a van saw me walk and said, hey, you want to ride? I said, yeah. And the back door slid open, and he had about 20 people in there.
Wow.
And all he was doing was running from downtown Brooklyn into the area that I grew up called Bay Ridge, dropping off a bunch of people, and he kept going back and forth.
Amazing.
You know, everybody's like, hey, you want a couple of bucks for gas or anything? He's like, no, I can't take any money off anybody. So I went and met my dad and had a couple of beers and hung out. But the other interesting story that goes with this is my sister's husband was a foreman on a sheet metal working crew. And I don't know if you knew this about the World Trade Center, but the interior walls were completely movable. So every time, like, a new company would go into a floor, they would redesign. So he was in there running ducks on the North Tower, and they had started at 6:30, and it was about 8:30 in the morning. He said, come on, it's coffee time. And they all went downstairs. He was a smoker at the time. And they all went downstairs for coffee and have a cigarette and stuff, and they were standing outside when the plane hit, and he looked up and he said, come on, we're out of here, guys. And they walked about 4 miles back to their shop in Long Island City.
Wow, amazing.
So, you know, he was working on the 22nd floor. So if he hadn't been in the building, he probably would have got out all right anyway. But he just looked at it, he goes, you know, a couple hours into the shift, it's time for a coffee break, and we just got lucky.
Amazing.
And that's what... That's
amazing. For everybody listening, and I know there's, you know, John, there's a lot of tinfoil hat wearers, conspiracy theorists that'll say that, you know, those were meant to come down. You know, that was a government inside deal and they blew the buildings up and blah, 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 which, by the way, I think is nothing but a bunch of hogwash. Just to be frank, I don't believe in any of those theories at all. I know what diesel fuel on fire, you know, kerosene is what jet fuel is. I know what it can do inside of a building structure like that. And given the way those were built and designed and some of the testimonials, even from folks like you, no, that was not an inside deal. The terrorists did that, period.
No. Well, my wife knew one of the flight attendants that was on Flight 77 that went into the Pentagon, the American flights. That was the other thing that was scary. My wife, back then, it was kind of pre-cell phone time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so nobody could get – everybody was calling our house, and she doesn't answer the phone. So if she wasn't answering the phone and everybody was in panic – and part of the problem was cell phone towers that were working, and it was early. It was 2001, so you knew the cell phone technology. Everybody had a flip phone brick.
Right. That's right.
That went down because of that. The other thing that people don't know, or maybe they do, was the North Tower had the transmitters for all the local TV stations New York City.
Okay.
And up until 9/11, my father didn't have cable in his house. He's like, there's enough on, because we had seven or eight channels.
He just beamed it in from there and didn't worry about it.
Yeah, we had seven channels broadcast. We had all the major networks plus three or four independent. So he didn't really have it. And what happened is when the tower came down, before that actually, when it lost power, all of the TV stations went off the air.
Okay. Sure.
Over the air.
Sure.
Except here's the one channel, WPIX, out of, they were owned by News Corp, and they never moved off of the Empire State Building when everybody else did. So they stayed on the air, and WCBS kept a backup transmitter in the Empire State Building. So they were able to get back up on the air in about 10 minutes. But the rest of the network,
I didn't know that.
Everything took about three days for them to get back on the air.
I did not know that. That's good.
Yep.
Again, that's why I wanted people to call in. I didn't know those things. That's interesting, John.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, little things like that happen. And then, of course, like, they shut all the bridges and tunnels down. So the people who live in New Jersey or Connecticut or out on Long Island, there was no way to get home. They shut the bridges down, the tunnels down, the subways down, the Long Island Railroad down. And they kept it shut down because they were afraid it was something else was going to happen.
Right.
You know, the last thing, here's a change from 9/11. Now, the Verrazano Bridge goes from Brooklyn to Staten Island across the entrance to New York Harbor. You've seen it. You know, that was the bridge that Iron Man flew under in the Avengers to reroute the rocket. You know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have... The upper level was cars only, and the lower levels was cars, trucks, and buses, everything. And after 9/11, they realized that if a truck blew up on the lower level, it would take out the bridge because of the confined space, and they flipped it. So now, lower levels, cars only, and the upper levels, cars, trucks, and buses.
Oh.
It's because, you know... Cause
yep, one of those changes. Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so... John, have a great
you too, man.
Broadcast tomorrow.
Well, I will. Thank you, John. I appreciate that very much. Got a text message in as well. I retired at the end of April. I worked out at Buckley Air Force Base as an aircraft Tech. That day, the short version was all training was suspended, and we were getting directives from chain of command, and we had aircraft airborne for a real mission in hours. It was a true this is not a drill scenario. While it was a horrible day, it was one I remember with pride in the members of the 120th Fighter Squadron. We had aircraft on alert status. We've had aircraft on alert status since that day. Yeah, those are things that have changed since then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, obviously, like we were saying, the biggest thing that's changed is the airports.
Yep. And frankly, I've said this, even have made fun of it and will continue to. I travel, you know, not as much as a lot of you that travel for work, but travel enough that, you know, I get a sense of what's going on at the airports and so on. And I will tell you that are we any safer today than we were prior to 9/11? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's all a feel-good measure. That's it.
Okay.
Period.
Honestly, I don't know much about airport security, so I'll go with what you say. You fly all the time.
Mm-hmm. Fly a lot. I mean, not, you know, again, not as much as a business traveler that flies weekly, but, you know, I get my share of trips in a year. And
right.
Yeah, it's a joke. Sorry, it just is. It's a joke.
Okay.
It really is. It's again, it's a big feel-good measure, and I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but most people have already thought through some of these things anyways. But if you look at the way we've even got airport security set up and everybody clustered and huddled around one area, it wouldn't take much to do damage at an airport, Andy.
Yeah, that could be the hit point.
I mean, we do some of the
everywhere,
dumbest things.
You've got hundreds and hundreds of people all clustered together going through the screening. What a place to bomb. What
Thank
a place
you.
To unleash a bio. What a place to, you know. And no, we're not giving anyone ideas.
No,
they've already thought through that.
That's right.
They've
thought through all these things. I mean, this is we're not telling anybody something they don't already know.
John, do you, really quick here, I want to ask, and maybe you can answer this after the break.
Sure.
What do you think the next big attack will look
Ooh,
like?
Good question. Ooh, let's do that. That's a good question.
All right.
Good question. All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Remembering 9/11, and we're doing a special, and really spent this whole hour talking about it. I have just a few minutes left here. Andy asked me a question. What do I feel is next? And again, we're not giving anybody any ideas, folks. Trust me. Criminals think even differently than we do. So if you think for one second we're giving anybody any kind of an idea on what they could go out and attack, trust me, they have thought through this even more so than we have.
I agree. But, John, as I said earlier, I get really angry at the idea of sending 30 agents on a documents dispute.
That's all
okay,
it is.
Okay, look, I would say the exact same thing. I said this at break if it were Barack Obama. I don't care.
I agree.
Okay, you guys, we need every agent we can and probably a lot more of them tracking down every threat possible, especially with a wide open border bringing those threats in.
That's right.
Okay, what do you think?
Real quick, one more text message came in. Leaving my health club in Greeley, the TV was showing the North Tower hit. I remember crossing a certain intersection, and Hugh Hewitt announced the airplane hit the South Tower. Turned on my TV in my classroom and saw the other crashes. Not much teaching happened in middle school that day. No, it did not, of course. What do I think is the next hit? Well, this is a tough one because it could be lots of things.
By the way, John, actually a lot of teaching happened.
Oh, that's true.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. In that respect, yes, you are correct, Andy. My biggest fear, and Charlie and I were talking about this, we talk about this on Ready Radio quite a bit as well. I feel like a low-level EMP strike would not be out of question for a lot of these terrorist groups. They could even use it as a test. They go take it over one of the smaller cities that we have in the U.S. just to see what the outcome would be, knowing that most of these cities are not hardened. There's no way possible that they can be. And could they do that even in a multi-scale level and do it over several different cities? Absolutely. My bigger fear, though, even beyond that, because I think this is something that would be very easily done and very widespread, I feel this is something that we are extremely, extremely vulnerable in. I don't think we've looked at this much at all. Yes, our power grid is very, very susceptible. But frankly, folks, our water systems is more susceptible than anything else
okay,
we have.
Okay, now you're getting into mine. Because if I were a terrorist, once again, we can't give them ideas. They already have them. If I were a terrorist, I'd be unleashing bioweapons in the water.
You could. And drones, there's all sorts of ways you could do this where most people wouldn't even know what's going on. And the majority of our water systems in this country, yes, some of them are held in towers and so on, but that water is pumped up to those towers for storage. We have so many freshwater storage systems that are open, Andy, that it would not take much to contaminate our drinking supply.
Right.
At all.
And I'm not talking chem, I'm talking bio.
Correct. What we're talking about, by the way, is some would say, well, that's the water that's stored. It still goes through the treatment plant, and then it goes out into the system, into the network to feed each home. Folks, there's things that they could put in the stream, in the water, the bio side of it that frankly people aren't, they're not even looking for some of those things. If you think for 1 second they don't have the ability to do those things or aren't thinking about those things, think again.
Right.
And we are not short up near, and far as I'm concerned, we are not short up in that area near enough.
No, and you don't have to fly a plane into a building.
No.
You can live to do it again. How about this one? Just simply starting fires.
Well, that's another one. Sure.
I mean, my goodness.
You
it's a hot summer.
Out. Oh, yeah.
Because the whole idea is not just, they've gone way beyond wanting to cause terror. They want to cripple systems.
And by the way, I would go as far, this is not conspiratorial at all, by the way. We had a huge fire in Colorado that started over there, the troublesome fire that I lost my cabin, and they to this day have not found who set that fire. I'm not saying that a terrorist didn't do some of those already, Andy.
Yeah, because are we saying terrorists did it? Of course not. We're saying we don't know, and we are saying
why it possible? Absolutely.
Well, and let's go a step further. We're saying why wouldn't they? I mean, if you want to cause terror, and a fire does, but more importantly, you want to cripple the system. Terrorists today don't think just like terror, like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they want to cripple the system.
Correct.
They want to cripple your economy.
And they
understand what that
does.
And
by the way, they hit New York City in the Twin Towers because that stood for our financial wealth,
right,
as a country. That was not only just to take the towers down. That was a message that they were sending, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
And the Pentagon as well. Yeah, those are messages that... And they planned on doing other things. If they hadn't brought down Flight 93, who knows where it would have went. But
exactly.
Yeah, that was a very big message they were sending that day, folks. Don't kid yourself.
You know,
ever let a lefty tell you otherwise, by the way.
I almost wonder sometimes why some of the terrorists just go on stabbing sprees and stuff. I'm thinking, obviously,
low
it's
because
they're... Yeah, obviously, because they're murderers and they're jihadists and they're crazy.
Right.
But it's also so inefficient.
Right.
You get caught quick. Then
those are the low-level thugs that I think, Andy, they even allow to do that because that's a distraction from some of the things you and I are talking about. The guys at the top are not doing that. They're thinking way beyond that. But if their minions are out doing that, they don't care. These are evil, evil, evil people. They don't care.
Okay, John, let me close with this. Does anything make you sicker than the current political climate? I know this is obvious. I'm serving up a softball, but think about it for a moment. Of demonizing people who literally are no threat to America, the worst you can say is they kicked in some, they did, we are against what happened on January 6th, but the worst you could say is they kicked in some doors and wandered around.
Right.
John, in a world of threats and murder and genocide, we are literally gearing our legal system and our government toward stopping harmless people.
Yeah, Andy, we've gone...
Whatever side they're on, they're harmless.
We're going after an ex-president.
In comparison, they're harmless.
Literally, we're going after an ex-president and his Post-it notes. Sorry, that's what I'm going to call it. We're going after his Post-it notes.
And his followers.
We're calling people that are wanting to prepare for the very things we're talking about right now radicals, and we're now going to investigate them on the FBI level because they're preparedness individuals.
Yeah.
Folks, this is just lunacy. Total lunacy.
Right. And meanwhile, we're letting guys out on the streets after 11 months who go and murder people again and hunt them.
Andy, we're talking about trading a basketball American-hating thug for known killer arms dealers.
Right.
What's wrong with that picture?
John, we have the U.S. government today is completely invested in blaming the victims.
Right.
And this is unbelievable. I never thought I'd see the day. It wasn't this bad under Barack Obama, and it was bad.
It was really bad. Well, he's still in charge, and it's just gotten worse. And I'll put a plug in, by the way, for Ready Radio. If you guys don't listen to that, you should, because a lot of what we're talking about right now, we talk about in that hour from 2 to 3 every Friday. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I mean this. If you think for 1 second they do any of the things we just mentioned when it's a nice, crisp fall day and everybody's loving the weather and so on, no, 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 folks. Trust me, these folks are going to look at this and plan these things out when we are at our worst, when there are tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards, things of those of that nature. They're not doing this on a great summer, you know, great spring or fall day, Andy. They're going to hit us when we are at our most vulnerable time.
John, we're dealing with monsters.
These guys are. They're
evil.
They have
an ideology of literally wanting to exterminate people.
That's right. At any cost. They don't care. Doesn't matter the cost. And also, let's get
and
this.
It's racist, we say, to treat them as a heightened threat.
And let's keep this in mind. Somebody just reminded me of this through a text message. We left behind in Afghanistan something like $7 billion worth of equipment, which, by the way, is now in terrorist hands.
Exactly.
$7 billion. These are not underfunded organizations is what I'm getting at.
Oh, no.
Very well funded.
They're oil and opium rich.
Yeah, very, very well funded. So, guys, again, don't forget 9/11 on Sunday. We did this hour on purpose just to make sure that we make note of it because the left wants to bury it. They want to see it go away. They want to replace it with January 6th. We will not allow that. Remember September 11th on Sunday. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to come out to the car show tomorrow and say hi. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, though, signing off. Have a great weekend. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.